time now to say hello to Bill Humphrey, who is with the Western Pennsylvania Model Railroad Museum. Their holiday show is up and running. Good morning, Bill. How are you?
Good morning, Larry. How are you?
Great. Thank you. Where is the Western Pennsylvania Model Railroad Museum? I think I know, but just to be sure, let's make sure everybody knows how to go see it.
We're located in Richland Township. That's north of the city of Pittsburgh. You would follow Route 8 up until you reach Route 910 and hang a left going west until you cross the railroad tracks. And that's where we use kind of a landmark. And then we're the next right-hand turn, and you'll see our big buff building, Western Pennsylvania Model Railroad Museum.
That's what I thought. I've driven by there many times. It's a sort of a house-like looking building, right?
That's correct. Just a great big block structure, that we have, and of course our display is all on the inside.
How long has the museum been there?
We've been there about 30 years. This is our 28th annual holiday train display.
And that's incredible. Well, what can people see when they go there? Can you describe the display?
Yes, when you walk into the museum on a lower level, it looks like inside of a train station. You'll see an actual train station. The gift shop looks like the back of a caboose, and our snack bar looks like a passenger car. You'll be able to see lots of displays, lots of stuff for children to push buttons and run trains on, a big Christmas tree with a train running around it. Of course, that's what, you know, it's all about, trains under trees, kind of. A big Lionel or tin plate train display and lots of other stuff. If you go upstairs, you'll be able to see our main display, what we call a railroad journey in miniature, from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania to Cumberland, Maryland, set in the summer of 1953.
Hmm. There must be a lot to see there. Do you have some buildings and landmarks to look at and kind of go back in time with?
With us? Oh, yes. We have a tagline, which we call, it's the only place in the burg you can still see trolleys on the Smithfield Street Bridge, just as it was in 1953. And, of course, when you're looking at our display, to the right is Mount Washington, and a brand-new P&LE station was built this year. And, of course, you know what that turns into many years later, the Station Square. And then, of course, as you continue on down, you'll see places like the Liberty Bridge, the J&L Steel Mill, and finally on to McKeesport, which is only about a third of our way through the display.
Wow, what an incredible thing to look at. And it sounds like it would be great for kids and adults as well. How did you get into model railroading?
Well, I guess I've been a model railroader all my life. When I started when I was 3 years old, I can remember pouring dirt from the garden around my tracks and didn't have anything but a couple pieces of track and a single old beat-up car. And so I figured, hey, I'll be a model railroader someday.
Wow, and you're still doing it now.
That's right.
I have not, it's funny. We grew up, I had the little road race cars, the little electric cars that you could run around on a track for automobile-type cars, not train cars. And some of my friends in the neighborhood had trains, and it seems like we all either had one or the other. Trains have stood the test of time a little bit more, I think, and they're really fun to play with. One thing I noticed recently, for something else I was working on, I needed some really good train sound effects, and I started to look online, and what I realized is today's model trains, I think, from what I was reading, you can install some very realistic sound effects to go with your train setup, right?
That's correct. In fact, we can do that, but of course, it can be a little overwhelming in our 4,000 square feet Pittsburgh to Cumberland, Maryland, because we may have as many as 35 or 40 trains, 30 trains under schedule, 40 trains under schedule, with two or three locomotives apiece. So it can be overwhelming if we put sound in everything, but yes, you can. You, with the new magic of electronics, DCC, digital command control, You can blow the horns and ring a bell and make the lights change or flash or whatever you want with all the new modern electronics.
Now wait just a second here. I heard something, Bill, that fascinates me. So there's you're running to a schedule with railroad time, it sounds to me. You've got the trains, and they all have scheduled starting and ending times?
That is correct. They start and stop just like the real railroads. We have signals that work just like the railroads. In fact, we've had people who are engineers come in and go, "Oh my gosh, this is just like work. This is what I do every day."
That's amazing. Did you know? I only realized this fairly recently. The story of I'm forgetting his first name now. Langley in Pittsburgh. I can't believe I can't remember his first name, but his development of standard time for railroads, that was a Pittsburgh thing?
Yes, railroads have always been a very heavy, very in party in Pittsburgh. I don't know how you quite want to say it, very there. In fact, during the Second World War, we were a very prime target for the Axis powers to have sabotage here, and of course that was a very big item that we had. A lot of stuff was here, Pittsburgh steel, the industries, corporate headquarters in Pittsburgh here, and a lot of the stuff was here. The Pennsylvania Railroad, of course, was called the Standard Railroad of the world.
Yeah, and it's Samuel Langley, by the way. That was going to bug me until I got that out of my mouth. But he came up with a way to come up with standard time based on looking up, astronomy, based on astronomical methods. And when he came to the University of Pittsburgh to get the Langley Observatory going, he basically sold the time to the railroads and used the money from the proceeds to get the observatory more equipment, which I just find fascinating. You know, selling the time.
Selling time zones.
Right.
Which is what, when you say noon in one place, may not be actual noon overhead with the sun. And so the railroads, who could communicate by telegraph almost instantly, would have to be able to say, "Hey, a train has left at noon." Well, no, it's not noon in a station 300 miles away, but yet it would still be in the same time zone.
Yeah, I'd recommend to other folks listening to us now that you might want to read about Samuel Langley and how he did that. It's just amazing. And, you know, he did it, it was probably in the 1890s. Yeah, so a long time ago. Well, let's be sure folks can come easily to the museum. There's a website you can go to get complete information, and also a phone number if you need to reach folks. How long will you be open with the holiday display?
We're open, in fact, at 11 o'clock today. We open up. We're open Friday nights, 6 to 9, Saturdays and Sundays, 11 to 5. We're open during the holidays between Christmas and New Year's and until January 17th. You can visit our website at www.wpmrm.org for complete information and time, and the phone number, area code 724-444-6944.
So it's WPMRM, as in Western Pennsylvania Model Railroad Museum, WPMRM, or 724-444-6944. Got a lot of fours in your numbers.
That's
6944-724-444-6944. Bill Humphrey, thank you, and congratulations. I hope to stop by. You know, I've driven by the building dozens and dozens and dozens of times, but I've never popped in it. So I'll hope I can do that one of these days and just see what it looks like.
I would love to meet you, Larry.
Okay, thanks so much, Bill. Take care. And thanks also to Bill for being with us today so early this morning. And thanks to Dick for suggesting, Dick and Butler, that we speak with Bill today about the Western Pennsylvania Model Railroad Museum, WPMRM.org.